Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS. Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
Right then, everyone. Good morning and a very, very warm welcome to the first pre-market trade plan session of the calendar year. Hope you're all keeping well and you had a good week. You had a good Christmas break and happy new year to everyone. We've really got this bullish backdrop to these markets in the early part of the calendar month and really towards the end of last year. So we're looking for, you know, reasons to either sustain that side of rally or for the wheels to come off. And we've got some important news due out this week, which should assist us really in terms of guidance. So let's do our analysis. We'll have a look at market fundamentals. We'll have a look at risk sentiment, and then we'll have a look at those technical charts, and we'll post our trade plan into the chat box before we finish. So it's just a case of just, you know, easing ourselves back into these markets. And if there's an opportunity to take advantage of, we'll certainly look at taking that. We're actually still in our dollar yen trade from before Christmas. So we've not really been able to either get out of it or really make that much progress. So in fact, we made some significant progress really initially. And then prices pulled back a little bit as they always do. And we've not really made much progress since. So really it was a trade that we weren't overly concerned about, because it kind of had a bit more of a longer term view anyway. So let's be prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So good morning, everyone. Welcome. Good to have you with us and happy new year. Please do take a brief moment to finish yourself with our risk warning currently up on screen. Excuse me. So pretty cold and dark, of course, this morning. Very cold at the moment with temperatures really, really, really low temperatures and icy and snowy conditions as well. So yeah, tough start to January really from that perspective. So it doesn't make it any easier really. However, let's progress then. All profitable trades need to consider, of course, which markets to trade, where do we then enter and exit these markets. Risk management along with trade management and trading psychology all play a very, very important role in your knowledge and understanding about trading these financial markets. And we address these considerations on an ongoing basis in our live trading rooms every day. And we're strong advocates of being consistent in our approach, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital. And of course, patience is an important feature of every trader's strategy and approach. So let's get into it. We'll start with a review of potential market moving news. So this is Forex Factory. And we now have a relatively quiet day, you could say. However, the week is going to be building up to a bit of a crescendo at the end of the week. So today, from the US perspective, we've got ISM manufacturing PMI numbers, ISM manufacturing prices. And yesterday came in slightly weaker in the manufacturing side. So these numbers are supposed to be a little bit more positive, and it seems to be weaker they seem to be getting in terms of manufacturing. This is the Trump administration policy around trade and bringing manufacturing jobs back to the US. These numbers aren't really kind of supporting of an expanding manufacturing sector in the US. And of course, those manufacturing prices, no surprise, are still on the high side, not quite as high as we were in the summer, not far off those highs. Okay, so tomorrow, nothing of any major interest. Is bank holiday for Italy as well. On Wednesday, so we've got Australian inflation numbers due out in the early hours of the morning. So just be mindful of that if you happen to be trading the Aussie dollar. For the Eurozone, we've got European inflation numbers. Again, it's expected to be pretty stable. Christine Lagarde, ECB, are pretty happy with where inflation is at. And as a result, interest rates are at similar levels, 2.15%, and likely to stay there as long as these numbers stay put. So, I suppose policy is in a good spot for the Eurozone. Now, they still need to stimulate the economy, and they still have this sort of spending bill on defense and infrastructure bill. There's additional spending in the pipeline. So on Wednesday is the first of our job numbers. We've got ADP, which is expecting to see a little bit of a positive number. So we've had, more than a few sort of worrying non-farm employment numbers. We're certainly on that lower end, but 50 would represent a bit of a positive bounce, certainly, from minus 32,000 jobs for the private sector. And then we got jobs as well. So you can see we kind of bounced off the lows a little bit. We were sort of at 7 million. And we are still at we're pretty much at pre-COVID heights. So the impact that this had on job openings coming out of COVID was excessive, was very unprecedented, as you can see, and now we've pulled back to sort of pre-COVID highs. So that's pretty much where we're at. We're kind of normalizing at fairly decent levels. So again, broad-based positivity that the wheels are not coming off like they could do. So underlying strength playing out across the board. Unemployment claims, we've been saying for the last number of years around 220 is a pretty solid number for unemployment claims. We're expecting those to rally aggressively if the AI impact on jobs is quite aggressive. The number of unemployment claims will rally. This is of course offset by those that are forced out of the country. They're not in a position to claim unemployment claims if they were in that position. So it would impact these numbers to the downside, the immigration policy. But we're pretty stable. I mean, it's probably a little bit on the surprising side, but we're remarkably stable, and there is this sort of exuberance that's playing out behind, just slightly underneath the surface. And it looks like so far this year that we are in sort of a period of exuberance. So there's no reason why we couldn't sort of continue to move with that risk on market dynamic. And we'll have a look at risk sentiment in just a second. And then we're going to finish off the week on Friday with non-farm payroll numbers. So again, expected to be, I suppose, stable, if nothing else. So, or stabilizing, perhaps, after a really weak number. So we've got this disruption in the data, don't we? So we are missing October's numbers. So it had this knock-on effect in terms of the data, and the clarity in that data is a bit disrupted. So from January onwards, we would hope, be entering some sort of phase of normality around these numbers again after, you know, a good few months of significant disruption and a very, very negative figure as well, minus 105. And we'll see the revisions as well on Friday, see what impact they'll have. But on the surface, we've got a stabilizing employment number, right? We're below 100,000. You know, in a healthy economy, you'd expect the US economy to grow about 200,000 jobs per calendar month, but we're currently at 62,000. So it's much, much weaker. It's not the end of the world, especially with the immigration situation. It allows the markets to continue to rally, I guess. And look, we were actually seeing the unemployment rate come back. Oh, that's the forecast. So the Fed themselves have referenced the 4.5. Last time out, we got 4.6. And we got a remarkably bullish response to this type of increase in unemployment for the US economy. Bit sort of left field figure. And the market reaction was diametrically opposed to what we would have expected on such a high unemployment rate. And then we got consumer sentiment and inflation expectations as well, which I must admit, look, they've come, you know, if we look at the summer coming out of the back of the tariff announcements, and we're going to get the Supreme Court ruling as well in a few weeks' time. So we'll see what Trump is allowed to get away with from the tariff perspective. And I think these numbers are kind of reflecting kind of intervention here. So maybe not able to follow through with the tariff policy as it currently stands without approval from, you know, very important institutions like Congress. So just to review, we're kind of easing ourselves into these markets, of course, today. We're having a look for some opportunity to see is there where we can perhaps look at an opportunity. And what I'm going to do is just leave you with, really, is just a general kind of overview. So you can see the bullish nature of this market and the sentiment yesterday. Now, it was a bit negative towards the end of last year. It was a bit negative last week. And then on Friday, I think it was, we had this kind of quite wide, a lot of volatility on Friday. And this is really where we're going this year in terms of volatility is increased volatility. I think we were only really entering a period of more dynamic market conditions, more concern, more hesitation, more erratic price action. So we're going to kind of adapt accordingly to that in terms of perhaps being eager to take profits a little bit earlier in that process. The overall bias, if I just get up our pen here. So we've obviously been in an upward moving market, and we got further momentum to the upside. Now, we just got all-time highs again last week. We were able to hit all-time highs before we had this little pullback. And our bias is very bullish. So from a risk sentiment perspective, we're certainly looking considerably more bullish there for the US indices. So so what we'll do is we'll have a look at each one of these at a time. We can have a look at all of these markets. So these are the main focus really for the day. We've got a bit of a view on the euro dollar and the dollar yen. We'll discuss gold and oil and the US indices like the S&P and NASDAQ. So our bias very much for the S&P 500 is looking for opportunities to buy. You can see the narrowing in the NASDAQ, but if we break above last week's highs, then you're probably looking for extension up to these all-time highs, very similar to the S&P 500. We've got an opportunity to get into the euro dollar. So yesterday we had quite a volatile move and prices pretty much bounced off the monthly lows and then turned around and reversed quite aggressively. So our bias short term is very much for the euro to strengthen against the dollar. And the same with gold. Our bias would very much be further to the upside for a couple of reasons. Central bank buying, flight to safety trade, the hedge against inflation if inflation just looks a bit more on the troubling side. Political instability on a global basis. We've now got the US invading and taking over Venezuela. It's a pure oil grab. And they're now letting US oil companies get in there and extract that oil. So it's a pretty bold move, really, by the US administration, which I don't think anyone's overly surprised. So look, we're bullish across those markets, but we're actually really quite bearish around the dollar yen. Again, further dollar weakness. It's really about dollar weakness against the euro and a mix between dollar weakness and the BOJ, you know, leaning towards this rate hiking cycle. We'd probably expect under those situations the yen to strengthen. And against that dollar seems a good comparison. And you can see the downward momentum in US oil with Venezuela, with the invasion of Venezuela and now the Trump administration getting US oil firms back into Venezuela. It's likely to increase supply because they've got the largest reserves in the world. The quality of the oil apparently is not particularly great, so it needs, you know, significant investment and refining and extraction. So it's a bit of a challenge, and it's a long-term play. It's not an instant sort of we get oil out of the ground in a very short period of time. It's going to take a significant amount of time, which is probably why, you know, we probably got a significant bounce there. But a lot of the market fundamentals are looking pretty negative for oil. So certainly short term, our bias would be lower. So just to summarize then, the S&P and the NASDAQ and the euro dollar and gold, our bias is still certainly to the upside at this point in proceedings. Whereas US, the dollar yen and US oil, our bias is very much to the downside for those two markets. And that's really what we're going to look at this morning. Right, great stuff. So we've got a risk on market condition. So just to get the year started. So we've got risk on market conditions. So risk on New Year market conditions. So there's this positivity, keep options open, indices strength, dollar weakness, gold strength, post current. Yeah, so look, all of this still remains intact. Right. Right, okay. Excuse me. Sort my fingers out. All right, so number one, keep all options open, not a bad strategy. US indices strength, dollar weakness, yen strength, gold strength, and US oil weakness. So there's your indices, your currencies, and potentially opportunities for the commodities as well. Things like gold are going to be difficult from a tradable perspective, far more useful for investors to sort of get in and have a slightly longer term view on those. However, that's our trade plan. On that note, guys, listen, thanks very much for joining us. We've got a broad-based risk on, a bit of excitement starting the year, ending 2025, going into 2026. We've still got this AI tech rally. We do have still, at this point in time, more of a dovish Fed. There is inflation prior to Christmas was looking weaker. We got this job numbers this week. So really, we're looking for risk on, indices higher, dollar lower, those bond yields to perhaps continue to squeeze lower with a bit of a further rally in markets like gold. So it kind of fits together. We're going to spend a bit more time in the European trading session looking for those opportunities. So on that note, thanks very much for joining us. We let you guys go. And any questions, feel free to contact us and we'll speak to you soon. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourself. My pleasure as always, guys. Happy New Year to everyone. Take care. Bye for now.